Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Jacksonville Jaguars, buy stock now. The train is almost away and gone. I'm wearing my Trevor Lawrence jersey today. It is a Victory Tuesday for Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, you got Mike Rizzo not across from me, but next to me. And he's finally here at the City Place Studios. I see him.
There we go.
Loud and
there
clear.
There we go.
Welcome in, Mike.
Yeah,
no Christian Cat
to,
today.
Good to see you, mate. We had a lot of fun on Theo's show today. We had a lot of fun on Theoretically Speaking.
Who is live on site at Amerant Bank Arena down in Sunrise. You got the home opener. The opening game of the Florida Panthers today against the Chicago Blackhawks. That is going to be at 5 p.m. You can listen to that right here on ESPN 106.3. We're taking you up until then. So a shorter program for us today, but a lot more hockey to follow along. 5 o'clock. You will catch that on ESPN 106.3. Also the ESPN South Florida app, which you could download today on the App Store. It's got everything. It's got myself and Rizzo. It's got Theoretically Speaking. It's got the Kaiser games. It's got our high school coverage, extended high school coverage from throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. It's got it all in one spot. If you miss it, if you're not near the radio, if it's not near the YouTube stream, you could do it on the app. If you miss any of it, it's on the app. That's the ESPN South Florida app, free to download on the App Store today. Well, Mike, Jacksonville Jaguars, we were both on the side that this was a risky, nerve-wracking game for Kansas City and Jacksonville alike, because Kansas City going in at 2-2, Jacksonville coming in at 3-1. Monday Night Football, primetime environment. My thought process going into the game was, this is not a game that Jacksonville usually wins. This is not a game that they usually come out victorious in terms of primetime spot, a lot of pressure, Mahomes in a big spot. They've lost 8 in a row against Kansas City. This is not a game that Jacksonville wins.
Right.
Small market teams know what I'm talking about. This is just not the type of game that Jacksonville ever wins in my life. And what happened yesterday on Monday Night Football with Buck and Aikman on the call too, so it felt like a big game. What happened was something marvelous, something glorious. To this day, that's probably the third best regular season victory, second best maybe, regular season victory that I have personally watched with my own eyes with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I don't wear this jersey. It's a Trevor Lawrence jersey. I don't wear it much. I only wear it on special occasions.
I think you've even mentioned it, that godforsaken Trevor Lawrence jersey before.
Yeah. And I don't wear it. I only wear it on special occasions. I've worn it a couple times. When they made the postseason and then they eventually beat Los Angeles Chargers, I wore it twice in about a two-week span. Then I wore it the first game of Trevor Lawrence's career, and I've worn it today. Those are the four times I have worn this jersey, because it's bad mojo to overwear a jersey.
You're not jersey guy. I don't see you as jersey guy.
I'm not jersey guy. But Jacksonville yesterday, is there not a team, if there is a physical team-wide encapsulation of what Jameis Winston is, that's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Dude, what are you
now,
on
hear
about?
Me out.
What
now,
are you
hear me
on
out.
About, man?
Hear me out. Hear me out. I think people got a taste of it. Of what Lawrence is. I told you that Lawrence is going to drive you crazy throughout the game.
Oh, my God, dude.
And that he did.
Oh, my God.
Does he drive you crazy or does he drive you crazy?
Dude, that, and not to jump the gun, but like the trip, is he going to get to the end zone?
The delay a game with a minute to go on the 10-yard line.
Just shooting your...
And he's making checks to the line for 15 seconds and he just doesn't even look at the play clock. And you're sitting there like, dude, what are you doing? Then he throws an interception in the end zone that gets tipped, picked, then a pass interference brings it back. And then that final play where Trevor Lawrence gets the ball under center, the right guard steps on his foot, he trips. I saw it on Twitter that somebody said it looked like a newborn horse taking his first steps. That's a lot of what it looked like. He's sort of trying to get to his feet. He trips again, gets back up. And down 4 with 45 seconds to go, 30 seconds to go, he finds a way to the end zone. One of the more bizarre game-winning touchdowns you'll ever see in your life. And Jacksonville ends up victorious 31-28 to move to 4-1 on the season.
I'm happy one of us gets to enjoy the NFL season this year.
To this point, yes. I'm in now. This is playoff season now for the Jacksonville
Bears. I am happy that you get to enjoy an NFL season. Me, on the other hand, forget about it. But you? Okay. We're talking now. We're cooking with grease. Travis Hunter, couple of catches last
Travis
night.
Travis Hunter, he played well. He was he was the top-rated offensive player on Pro Football Focus in terms of grade.
Yes.
And he was the fifth-best defensive player. So he was on top of things. He had a good game. He did. And they don't go to him enough, but you can tell. If you watch the game and watch specifically Travis Hunter, he's hard to miss. He got the pink gloves. If you watch him, every time they made a check at the line of scrimmage, Travis Hunter would be like, what's the play? I don't know what I'm doing, because I think he's just behind on learning the playbook because you're splitting attention. But he had a good game nonetheless. Let's start with Trevor Lawrence, because, boy, is it a ride trying to root for that guy.
I mean, geez.
Is it a ride? He had some godforsaken turnovers at the goal line where he tries to reach the ball over, and it was a terrific play by the Kansas City Nick Bolton. And when they knocked the ball out of his hands, an unbelievable back and forth game. I thought the Jacksonville Jaguars were dead on two spots. I thought 14-0, the team was dead. After they got that turnover, it was 7-0, and they get the turnover. Kansas City goes 97 yards in five plays to score, which you don't see very often.
No.
So they run down the field, essentially. I'm looking around. We're in a lot of trouble. This game's close to over. And this is the type of game, to allude back to the point, that Jacksonville never wins. They never win this type of game. They never come from behind. They never out two-minute drill a player like of Patrick Mahomes' caliber. That's exactly what they did. And they never get the break on the penalties. And Jacksonville almost got screwed on two terrible pass interferences, but Kansas City had 13 penalties in the game.
Dude, they played bad.
They had four special teams penalties that cost them on the final drive. The pass interference at the end of the game, it was nonstop with them.
This isn't me.
And they're all good calls. All good calls.
This isn't me being disrespectful to your win, Kyle. But that Chiefs team is bad. I'm there.
Yeah, they didn't
I'm
play
there.
Well.
They're bad. And I think the skill weapons are a problem. We said it last night during the fifth quarter, you know, our extra hour on Monday when we go 4-7. Their skill weapons just aren't it. And Patrick Mahomes, how about that pick six, okay? I mean, geez, Mahomes does not make those plays. Mahomes does not make those boneheaded mistakes of throwing an interception like that, and God forbid having it be a pick six. I knew Jacksonville was going to win the game right there. And Kyle, I know you were hanging out for dear life at that point.
Yeah, you think so.
I knew they were going to win that game. Right? I knew they were going to win that game.
It's 21-14 at that point. Kansas City gets the ball again. Jacksonville forces a stop. They get the ball back, quarter flips, and then all of a sudden, they're at their own, inside their own 20, and that's when Trevor Lawrence throws that interception. And you look at the interception, and I'm looking around, I'm ready to rip Trevor Lawrence's head off. What are you throwing at? And then they missed that blatant pass interference that they didn't call on the Kansas City defender who got in the way of the Jacksonville receiver. One of the more egregious, and you heard on the broadcast, which is why I thought Buck and Aikman did a superb job yesterday, because I thought it leaked through that they were as surprised as everybody else to see Jacksonville win a game like
right.
that. And they were calling out the refs' BS throughout the entire game. I thought they did a great job on the call. I really did.
But I think we have to realize, Kyle, this isn't the Chiefs of last year or even 2 years, or they're 2 years ago or even last year. Like, this is the Kansas City Chiefs that are coming off losing a Super Bowl.
Now, the one
and
thing
are
I'll
looking
say,
very vulnerable. They already lost an international game they never win. They lost at home to the Eagles. I'm not shocked at all that they lost last night. It seemed like this game was the get-right game for Kansas City and going 3-2. But actually watching the game last night and watching the Chiefs, this isn't the Chiefs from last year or 2 years ago. I could firmly say that. And they might not even finish second in their division.
The thing that's uncharacteristic about the Chiefs is the penalties. The bad mistakes, the preventable mistakes, they were nonstop for Kansas City. Now, the one thing about Kansas City is the second he gave the ball to Mahomes with a chance to take the lead, down 24-21 in the fourth quarter, he does an 8-minute drive, 86 yards, he controls the game, and they're able to score a touchdown and take the lead with a minute 45 to go. That was classic Kansas City. And then, in a drive where I didn't think anything of it, I didn't think that anything was going to happen, Trevor Lawrence Two bad plays, two good plays. It was the ultimate one step back, two step forward drive. He is a bizarre player. He's a bizarre player.
Can I ask you something? Can Trevor Lawrence win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Really?
You know why?
Why?
Because he's got the Eli gene.
He's
got the Eli, Brett Favre, and Jameis Winston.
So folks, our teammate Mike Jones, good buddy of mine with Colin, we're good buddies. Colin and I are good buddies with Mike Jones. You texted Mike something crazy I couldn't even follow. Trevor Lawrence is the best of the terrible quarterbacks.
He's in two ways. He's either the best of the bad quarterbacks or he's the worst of the good quarterbacks.
And what'd you get last night?
I'm at the point where he's the best of the bad.
Is he even a top 10?
Hold on. He's along the lines of Jameis. You know what he is? I put this together yesterday. Trevor Lawrence is the Josh Allen of Jameis Winston's. Now let that marinate for a second and try to put some thought to that.
He's the best of what Jameis Winston has to offer.
Yes. He's the Josh Allen of Jameis Winston's.
So,
are you seeing the vision?
Just pure madness?
Chaos. You're seeing the vision.
I guess.
Josh Allen of Jameis Winston's.
I want to say
he's got that Eli gene where one play is this boneheaded, what are you doing? This is insane play. And then some heroics immediately after.
The best I could say is he tried losing that game about three different times last night.
And then he makes some remarkable play three or four times. It's bizarre. It's give one and take one. It is ridiculous how much of a wild card he is. Did you see the pass early in the first half where it was the second drive of the game. He passes the ball past the line of scrimmage. He must have been 4 yards downfield. It's the second time he's been called for that in 2 weeks. I never see that call ever. I've seen it twice with him in 2 weeks.
Is that him trying to do too much?
It's him not knowing where the marker is.
I was about to say, is he just trying too much at this point?
It's just bizarre. These mental mistakes, these rookie mistakes, you see it a lot with him, but then you see these moments with him running the football, with him that pass down to Brian Thomas Jr. on the sideline, on the opposite hash, right on the money, a perfectly placed pass, as good of a pass as you could find towards the end of the game. Then immediately after, I gotta have it, a second down conversion to Dyami Brown to put them in field goal range. All of that, and then a mixture of that last play, where he trips twice and then is able to score the game-winning touchdown. That's the story of his career. It is the true Jaguars Trevor Lawrence experience that you got last night. Yeah. For those who don't watch the Jacksonville Jaguars, look no further than last night. It is like that every single week. They are bizarre.
They're four. You want to know? Do you want to know what they are? A 4-1 football teammate.
4-1.
That's what they are.
And the goal was for them to win one of their next two, including last night. And now they get these next two against the Seahawks and against the Rams, one at home, one in London. And then that's, if they go 1-1 there and finish 2-1, they're in a great spot.
Well, you guys are London's team. You're going to win that game.
They're
You're
in a
London's
great spot.
Team.
And playing a team that's also coming from Los Angeles. So they're in a great spot. They really are. And I'll say that. Now, it's too early to make any declarations, but he's the Josh Allen of Jameis Winston's. When you're curious on what type of player he is, just think of the Josh Allen caliber of what Jameis Winston's can be. There's highs and lows of Jameis Winston. Who's the Josh Allen of that? That is Trevor Lawrence.
It makes absolutely no sense.
It does make no.
It does not make sense.
888-760-3776. The Josh Allen of Jameis Winston's is Trevor Lawrence. If that makes sense to you.
So he's a lesser Josh Allen is what you're trying to. Why
it's more about Jameis than it is about Josh.
Why is Jameis in this conversation?
Here's how I'll define it. There's a big spectrum of what Jameis Winston's are.
A lot of touchdowns and a lot of turnovers.
Either it's really great or really not, right? That's Jameis Winston.
Well, Jameis, I think personally, Colin, he's going to throw touchdowns, but he's going to throw interceptions. No ifs, ands, or buts.
He is the perfect spectrum of Jameis Winston's. He is where Josh Allen would be on that spectrum. And Josh Allen is near the top. So he's near the best of what Jameis Winston could ever be. That is what I'm trying to say.
Mate, I'm not seeing the vision here, but it's okay. I don't think I'm supposed to.
He's got the Brett Favre, Eli Manning, Jameis Winston. He's got the gene where you're questioning every decision he ever makes, but then he does something heroic where you just sit back, wow. So that was a professional play.
I think fellow Jaguar fans will know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm surprised you're not following
along.
I'm not
following here. This, dude. If anything, we need to keep Jameis out of it and just say he's a lesser Josh Allen.
No. Because it doesn't do justice to his play style.
Lawrence runs.
He's more like Jameis. He's more like Jameis than he is like Josh.
But
he plays like Josh, and he's if what Jameis could be, he's the Josh Allen of that.
He's a poor man's Josh Allen.
No.
Because Allen will throw interceptions every now and then.
He's a more athletic Eli Manning.
Now we're getting Eli involved.
Because Eli's the same way. Eli would have a drive where you're questioning, what are you doing every 5 seconds? And then he does something heroic. Lawrence has got that gene. I'm not saying he's good as Eli, but he's got that gene. Favre had that.
I am holding, because you hold me accountable more than anybody I've ever met in my life. Colin, October 7th of 2025, you told me Josh, sorry. I'm getting all confused with these damn quarterbacks. You told me Trevor Lawrence can win a Super Bowl. I'm holding you to it.
Sure can. And he drives you crazy. He drives you nuts. But he's got that Eli gene, and that's dangerous.
We need to put under your name Colin Russo.
Allen of Jameis Winston's.
No, Colin Russo, and then put 10-07-25 thinks Trevor Lawrence can win a Super Bowl, Russo.
You know why?
I'm not there. Colin, you know I got to be honest. I'm not there.
Because he's electric to watch. He is an entertaining player to watch.
Is he a top?
Because he is either so questionably bad or so unquestionably good, and there's no in between.
My issue is I'm picking 10 quarterbacks over Trevor Lawrence at this point. That's my issue still.
Here's the thing.
What's the thing?
Eli Manning was never in the top end of the quarterbacks. He's got the Eli gene.
Dude, Eli also played with Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and some of the best ever.
You got to really dive into this.
Eli was top five, mate.
Eli Manning. Jameis Winston is a type of Eli Manning. All right? There's a comparison there. They are. They're comparable. Eli Manning is the Tom Brady of Jameis Winston's. All right? Follow along. The Tom Brady of Jameis Winston's is Eli Manning.
I just don't know.
All right, so do you understand what I'm getting at?
I don't.
The top end of the spectrum of what Jameis Winston's can be is Eli Manning. All right?
I think that's a borderline Hall of Fame player.
Mike, listen up. And then the Josh Allen of Jameis Winston's is Trevor Lawrence.
Why can't...
I don't know how clear-cut I could put for you outside of that.
Why can't we just say Eli Manning was a poor man Brady and Trevor Lawrence is a poor... Your infatuation of Jameis Winston is cracking my you-know-what-up.
I'll give you an example. I'll give you another example. You want to put it in basketball terms? I'll put it with a former Cav.
Okay.
Aaron Gordon is the Michael Jordan of Larry Nance's.
All right, so the best of what Larry Nance has to offer...
Is Aaron Gordon. Okay. You see in the vision?
I do now.
That's what I'm trying to say with Lawrence.
So, all right. Jameis Winston's play style is like Trevor Lawrence. But
correct.
Trevor Lawrence
is the best,
is the Josh
the
Allen
of
this. The...
And okay. Eli is the Brady. Because okay. Eli is the best of the best of what Jameis Winston ever could have been.
When's the last time Lawrence threw 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions?
That's why it's not about it's about the questionable decisions that he makes basically 17 times a game.
Fair enough.
Similarly to Roethlisberger was a little bit like this, but it was similarly to how Manning operated. Eli was the same way. And Jameis is the epitome of no. Yes. That's Lawrence.
Fair.
You following?
I get it now. I understand.
I like how it's the Aaron Gordon, Larry Nance comparison that kind of put this all into place.
I just didn't know, like, you were comparing the play style to Winston, but you...
The first player is the quality
of this, and the
second player is the spectrum of play style.
The quality part was the thing I was missing, because I kept thinking you were comparing Lawrence to Allen,
he's the best version of what Jameis Winston
could be. But, yeah, you're just comparing the status of Allen and the status of Michael Jordan.
The NFL has got weird subcategories of quarterbacks. They got the operators, you know, they got the Jared Goffs of the world. They got the gamers, and those guys are like the Bakers. We talked about Bo Nix. Bo Nix is a bit of a gamer.
System guy, Purdy.
Yeah. Purdy's an operator. He's in the Goff category. And then there's guys like Jameis, and that's just wild card. Stafford's a little like that, but they're just wild cards.
You're playing blackjack.
You're playing blackjack every time they snap the ball. But it could be really good or really bad. That is Lawrence.
Yeah.
That is what. That is the full highs and lows of a Trevor Lawrence experience. The full highs and lows. That is what you get. Imagine if you placed a little action on Trevor Lawrence anytime touchdown, or Parker Washington, which I was on, by the way. It was their first touchdown of the game. Anytime touchdown, plus 550 on the hard rock.
Dude, you were all over that game. You were all over that game. And folks, I want you to be all over all of the games or their good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Check out the new promo on the NHL. We got the puck drop. And folks, you're going to be hearing Panther hockey coming up tonight with our good friends here at ESPN West Palm. And you can bet on it at Hard Rock Bet. So get on the ice tonight. They got great promos on the app. And then it's football season, too. It's baseball season. You know, Colin and I, man, we're total baseball heads. If it were up to us, we'd do 4 hours today on Tommy Edman almost blowing the game for the Dodgers against the Phillies. And how about the Phillies, those phonies? They got what they deserve. But regardless, you can bet on these games with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21-plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMITTED. That's 1-888-ADMITTED. So one more time, let me set the scene. Opening night of hockey, MLB baseball, playoff baseball. You got the NBA right around the corner and a full slate of college football, a full slate of NFL football. What are you waiting for? Bet $5. If you win, you get $150 in bonus bets. That's our good friends at Hard Rock Bet.
That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Russo and Rizzo taking a time out here on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're here to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Listen, let's call it like we see it. They are the best in the business for a reason. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call, take back control of your life, and get that free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. No Christian Cat today. We're at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. 888-760-3776. He's the Josh Allen of James Winston.
It took the Larry Nance comparison.
I'm glad. I thought of that in the spot. I'm like, all right, let's think of somebody that Mike would understand.
It took the Larry Nance comparison. Junior, by the way, not senior.
So to add context, what I said is Trevor Lawrence is the Josh Allen of James Winston's.
Correct.
Mike was a little confused, but I'm saying Josh Allen is in the caliber, how good you are, and the spectrum of what your skill set is James Winston. Can you be a really good James Winston or a really bad James Winston? Trevor Lawrence is a really good James Winston.
Hence Josh Allen's name being mentioned.
Because he's like the second or third, he's the top of the echelon.
I couldn't get out of my head. I thought you were comparing the play styles to both of them, but the first measuring stick was Josh Allen.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's when you said Michael Jordan. My Larry Nance's.
You're like, if Larry Nance was great, he'd probably be Aaron Gordon.
My Cleveland rat brain, man.
It'd probably be Aaron Gordon if he was that great. It'd probably be Aaron Gordon.
Now, something we are going to disagree on here, I know for a fact, is I think the Buckeyes are the top team in the country.
Let's do a little top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Went from unranked to the 14th team in the country. They were more motivated going into that game.
Who's moving down?
Can they have a good season after this? Maybe.
It's time for Russo and Rizzo's College Football Top 10 Poll. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
Folks, you know if you're moving, you know you got to hit up. How many times have you heard me talk about my good friend Spiro over at Good Greek Moving and Storage? It's the safe option. It's the safe option. They got the Superhero Movers Academy over at Good Greek, all right? And what that is every single person who works for Good Greek has to go through the academy. Folks, these are the movers you can trust in your family. You know, God forbid you got to run to the store and you got to leave some people at your house with the wife and the kids. This is the moving group that you trust. You can trust my good friend Spiro over at Good Greek Moving and Storage, your number one total relocation service. GreekMoving.com. That is GreekMoving.com. All right, Kyle, let's get right into it.
So, number 10. What we did last week in our top 10 poll for college football is we do this weekly where we think about what the NFL is we'll do on Thursday and the college football with the AP poll out. We could finally get down to it. All right, Mike, number 10. There's a couple different directions here, but we got to take a couple teams out because of how they played
now,
over the weekend.
Let's make one thing clear, at least for me. I want Texas Tech to be in the top 10.
They were 10 last week.
I need to double check. I think Texas Tech belongs. The next question is, do you want Georgia, LSU, or Tennessee at 10? I'll listen to Georgia Tech. I personally wouldn't put Georgia Tech at 10. I think it's one of these one-loss SEC teams. But who do
Georgia Tech does not have a good win on the schedule. That's why I would say let's.
Well, what do you mean? They beat Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers.
I'm going to be honest with you. I would put Missouri before I put anything because Missouri is also undefeated. They play Alabama this weekend.
They haven't played anybody though, but
understand. So we could say Mizzou is the team to beat, the team to get
who's
in.
Who's the best one loss out of Georgia, LSU, and Tennessee?
Georgia's got the win over Tennessee.
It's got to be Georgia.
Georgia's got the win.
It stinks. I cannot believe how the mighty have fallen with LSU, right? But our number 10, guys,
number 10
is going to be Georgia. That moves us to number 9.
Number 9.
And, folks, these are our college football top 10 power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com.
Now, I think you put Alabama here.
Okay. So
they're the only other one-loss team that we are going to put on this thing,
top 10. Hear me out on this. They won at Georgia.
That's fine.
One
they're
of
above
the toughest
Georgia.
Place to play. But I think they should be above Texas Tech. That win is better than any. I am respecting Texas Tech as the best team in the Big 12.
Here's the thing about Texas Tech. Texas Tech hasn't played a game within 3 scores yet. And they have also beaten Utah, whether you think they're good or not, at Utah. And they've beaten Houston, whether you think they're good or not, at Houston.
All right. Well, keep this in mind. That's fine.
I think you put Alabama
here.
We'll
put Bama at 9.
Number 9.
But what you just said there. I'm going to use that against you later on, and I think you know where I'm going with that. Let's go to number 8.
Number 8.
And once again, this is
Mike, winning our top 10 Utah power rankings. Is a little different than Ohio State beating Ohio U, you know, in the Battle of the Bricks.
You're forgetting about Washington, mate. And Battle of the Bricks is Miami of Ohio versus.
And also, when you're comparing Miami's resume, before we even get to it, when you're comparing Miami's resume to what Ohio State's resume is, it should be pretty glaring differences. We'll get to that when we get there.
I'm going to use it against you, but quickly, once again.
Number 8 is going to be Texas Tech.
I mean, it has to be. I still would put Indiana, Oklahoma, Texas A&M over them. That is firmly number 8, Texas Tech.
Number 8.
So we got 10, Georgia, 9, Alabama, 8, Texas Tech.
And that
7?
Number 7.
I mean.
You can go to Big Ten bias
hear me
or SEC
well,
bias.
You know I am Big Ten Mike. But Ole Miss, A&M, Oklahoma, Indiana. Dude, you could really. I think all those teams are in the same category right now. And I think if I'm putting a team at 7, I think it's Oklahoma. They're going to be able to move up if they beat Texas. I know Texas is an unranked team. This is the third time in the history of college football where the preseasons 1 and 2 are unranked by week 6.
If there's
6.
A team that gained the most over the weekend, in my opinion, it's totally A&M. A&M beat Mississippi State, and whether you don't think Mississippi State's any good or not, look again, because Mississippi State took Tennessee to overtime, and they really handled them. I think A&M had the most to gain over
the weekend. All right, so we'll keep A&M for higher up, but at number 7, you're okay with Oklahoma?
Number 7.
I am okay with Oklahoma because of the quarterback.
Okay, then let's move on to number 6.
Number 6.
I think this is probably where you put Indiana.
This is definitely Indiana, and folks, once again, these are our top 10 power rankings on the college football side. Presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com. So 6 will be Indiana. That'll move us to 5.
Number 5.
I think Ole Miss, right?
Yeah, Ole Miss. And we haven't seen them. The last time we saw them was really LSU. But I think this is probably a no-brainer. They all have a gauntlet coming up. All these teams are playing each other in the next couple of weeks. And there's so much SEC representation here, at least in the top 14, top 15. So because of that, you're going to get a sense for these where they really stand really quickly. But I'm fine with putting Ole Miss here.
All right, and then number 4.
Number 4.
Now, it's A&M.
I think this is A&M because A&M is actually – they've had a number of tough games. Auburn, Mississippi State, Notre Dame. That's 3 good wins right there. So I'm okay with putting them above everybody else.
Number 3.
Oregon?
Yeah.
Oregon.
Oregon's loss hurts. Yeah, Ohio State jumps Oregon. No problem. No problem. Because Oregon, Penn State losing has really hurt that resume a little bit.
Yeah, and God, Dan Lanning, man, he was all fired up about that win against Penn State.
I mean,
he
should be. Who wouldn't be? I mean, what are we supposed to think? I agree with you that it's a. Now it doesn't look as good because Penn State kind of stinks.
Dude, Penn State, they are there in my doghouse.
They've always been in my. I hate Penn State. I can't deal with that.
As someone who backed them up before the year, backed them up when they played godforsaken states the first 3 weeks of the season, and then they finally played two Power Four opponents and do that.
Number two.
It's Miami, right?
No, it's not. It's Ohio State. You're not winning this conference. You didn't win it last
Miami,
week. Why would
right?
you win it again? Why would you win it
because
again?
There's
no reason for you to win it again. You didn't win it. You didn't win this discussion last week. What changed?
Julian Sain is one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
What changed, Mike?
Julian
Sain
is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And once again, Ohio State held Minnesota to 3 points, Colin.
I don't care. Minnesota.
No one has scored 10 points on the defense all year.
Winning like in-conference road game, and whether Florida State stinks or not, Florida State has showed you more than Washington
What's
has.
What's a tougher
and you
game?
You love that Washington game.
Yeah,
you
love Washington. You mentioned me at Utah. Okay, all right.
That team's up
at
nine.
At Washington.
Texas Tech, if I counted, you want to know that somebody that does suffer, how about that Texas win, huh? If anything, Ohio State should be five.
What about the Florida
State
win?
They should be five.
What about the Notre Dame win?
Fine.
These wins stink.
Fine.
They have not none of these wins. All I'm saying is, and that, fine.
We're stacking resumes, Mike. You're dead wrong.
Listen, next week I'm putting Ohio State one if they win at Illinois. So for now.
Oh, okay.
So for now, number two, we'll put the best team in the country and the defending champions, Ohio State.
We're not putting them number one. We're not.
At number two.
Miami's the best team in the country.
But
you're dead wrong.
The point, all right, the number one will be Miami. And once again, these are our top 10 power rankings on the college football side presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com. Kyle, you're running yourself in a corner here because none of these wins look good anymore. Miami's wins don't look good. Ohio State's wins, Oregon's wins. The
I actually think Miami's Notre Dame win is going to
age
pretty well.
They stink. Notre Dame stinks.
They walked into Arkansas and beat them by 50 points.
Arkansas, the coach got fired.
I understand. He got the Notre Dame. That was Notre Dame's fault. Notre Dame did that.
My sources tell me
that
guy was getting fired no matter what.
I'm sure, but there was that was the. You want to call that a straw? That was the hammer that broke the camel's back.
Stop.
Won by 50
Notre
points.
Notre Dame, you're going to. That 30 points.
Mike,
Vinny
I don't
Sutherland,
think they're good.
Purdue Boilermakers put up 30
they're
points
not great.
At that godforsaken stadium.
I agree with you. They're not great. But you can't sit here telling me that Minnesota, Washington, and Texas, you want to talk about somebody who stinks, look no further than the Longhorns. If you want to tell me that Minnesota, Washington, and Texas, two of which at home, against Miami, against Notre Dame, FSU, and Florida, if you want to tell me that those wins are not as big as Ohio State's, you're dead wrong.
No credit for Julian saying at all? No credit for the defense?
No.
When are you going to give when will you give this team credit?
Mike,
when
talk about
you
giving
give
credit
this team
to Ohio
credit.
State. Where did I just rank them? Number two. Are you talking about giving them credit? They're number two.
They're the number one team in the country. The only one who doesn't think this.
Oh, my gosh. Mike, I just put them at number two. I didn't put them at nine next to Texas Tech. I put them at number two.
Dude, Julian Sain was throwing darts on a dartboard.
Mike, they hopped Oregon. Be thankful for that.
Hopped Oregon.
They hopped Oregon.
Yeah. Team hopped Oregon. All right, whatever. Folks, that was our time. Once again, our top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Our top 10 power rankings. Go to GreekMoving.com. My good friend Spiro, man, he is your guy for your total relocation service at Good Greek Moving and Storage.
ESPN South Florida app will have the home opener for the Florida Panthers tonight, just about 38 minutes till game time, and listen to it right here on ESPN 106.3 or the ESPN South Florida app. We'll do a little 5-on-5 as we close out today's shorter program with Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
On top of the football this weekend, you get a little bit of a delay in the Detroit Tiger-Mariner game, which is just about started. You got Blue Jays-Yankees 8:08 tonight on FS1, and you could get started to bet that live. You could bet the Panthers live. You could bet just about anything you want on the Hard Rock Bet app, huh, Mike?
With the NHL, with the MLB playoffs, NFL, player college props. Football, player props. And check out that new promo that they got going on for the NHL games. It's opening night coming up tonight. We're going to have the Panther game for your home of the Panthers in Palm Beach County. We're going to have the Panther game. So while you're listening to the Panther game on ESPN 106.3, you might as well bet with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. And Colin made a ton of money on Monday Night Football last night betting on his favorite team. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars. You could do the same with Hard Rock. Deposit $5. Bet $5. If you win, you got to win. But if you win, you get $150 in bonus bets. That is the Hard Rock Bet app offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That's 1-888-ADMIT-IT. And Colin, something I've been doing with Hard Rock, I mentioned to you, the Buckeyes have been a cover machine. They've covered 4 out of their 5 games this year. I hop on that line on like Tuesday, and by the time Saturday comes down, I got an extra like 2 points. So get on some of these college games you like earlier. Get on the NFL games that you like earlier. It's our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Download the app today. Bet $5 if you win, $150 in bonus bets.
Let's bounce around. Let's do a little baseball. 5 and 5% by Flagler Credit Union.
5 topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking big time.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one.
Well, Monday Night Football, Colin. You had the Jacksonville Jaguars beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Talked a lot about this already, so I'll keep it simple. Colin, was this more about how good the Jags are or how much the Kansas City Chiefs have fallen off a bit?
Mixture of both. And it's fair to say that because the Chiefs did a bunch of uncharacteristic things throughout the game, but then there were also the Chiefs at certain points. They got a lot of fortunate calls. They got basically 2 touchdowns on the favor of 2 pass interferences from the referees. But on top of that, Kansas City went 86 yards that final drive of the game. They did 97-yard drive in 5 plays. They could still have it at certain points. They had 500 yards of offense. I mean, at a certain point, we got to give them a little bit of credit. But on the other side of things, throwing a 99-yard pick six, which is the longest by a linebacker in NFL history. And then on top of that, you have the penalties, 13 penalties they had and special teams, all those mistakes. That's uncharacteristic of Kansas City. On the Jacksonville side of things, that's a team that's the best team in Florida.
Wow.
Your best
no,
team in Florida.
Come on, man. Tampa Bay.
Best
Baker.
Team in Florida.
They got the better. Tampa Bay is the better quarterback.
Right, but I think Jacksonville's got the better defense and a little bit more reliable run game. But, right, Buccaneers, way better receivers, way better passing game, way better quarterback. But and they don't have the Josh Allen of James Winston.
I'll keep it simple with my answer. The Chiefs aren't representing the AFC in the Super Bowl this year.
Number two.
All right, sticking with a little, actually rather, let's go to the ball diamond. Kyle, I one of the crazier games I saw last night with the Dodgers and the Phillies.
Superb game.
Get us caught up to speed with what happened in the game last night.
Well, I'm curious. A lot of people had a problem with this. I'm curious from your perspective because the Phillies made a late game run to hustle back into the game. It was a 4-0 ball game for just about the entirety.
Yeah, Castellanos, huge,
right.
Huge.
And then once they got into the bottom of the ninth, they had an opportunity with a man on second to lay down a bunt. And they did with Bryson Stott. And Max Muncy came in from third and made one of the more miraculous plays you've ever seen. Mookie, who was at short, came all the way over.
He messed it up. Stott messed it up.
Right, but it came all the way over from short and tagged them out at third when Muncy came up to play the bunt. Now, you could have made a point to, you know, Stott did the bunt incorrectly. A lot of people had a problem with Stott actually going for the bunt, period. I actually thought in the heat of the moment, that's a better defensive play. That's good offense makes a good defense.
Yeah, I had a problem with it. If you're going to do it, it's got to be better. If you're going to do it, it's got to be better. And in a moment like that, trying to get the hit. I don't know. Weird. It's just not the Phillies to bunt there. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
the Phillies don't bunt there. They swing. They swing freely.
The way I look at it, they were down a run, and they wanted to get a guy into scoring position. It was 4-3 ball game at that point with Castellanos at second. And if you're no outs, that was just a terrific play by Muncy. Yeah. That's a terrific play. That was one of the that play saved the game. And I think the Dodgers really played with fire there. They didn't put Kershaw in. I thought they were going to put Kershaw in.
No, and for the Phillies, Kyle, it's really that seventh inning. You know, Lizardo getting touched up in the seventh.
I mean, yeah. Their bullpen is so bad. They can't pitch in a big spot.
Then they go to
They go to Kirkland.
I always get the name wrong, but yeah, and then he and gets shelled
Strom,
as well.
And they go to Strom, who stinks.
Yeah.
Strom was terrible in game one. Their bullpen stinks.
Yeah, they're done, by the way. I'm willing to say, you know, down 0-2, going back to L.A. I know baseball is one of those weird sports where teams can really do this. We've seen this happen, but, like, they're done, dude.
You think the Cubs are dead?
Probably. Dude, the Brewers have mojo. They got mojo. They got
timely
magic.
Hitting.
Dude,
they had so many hits.
That Chirillo home run to really seal the deal.
Did you see Pete Crow Armstrong trying to scale the wall when the ball was about 16 yards above him?
They zoomed in on him going to the timeout, by the way. I was multi-boxing all night last night with Monday Night Football and the baseball games. But when Council went to go, I forget who the reliever was at the time. When he went to go take him out, I texted our group chat. I said, it looks like the guy could cry right now.
Yeah.
It literally looked like he was going to cry.
Timely hitting. They hit baseballs. That's really they run the bases well, and they could do all that. Go ahead.
Number three.
So, Kyle, we got baseball again tonight. Now, and thankfully, no football. You know, I like when baseball gets their time slot tonight when they really got nothing to compete against. You mentioned that the Mariner and the Tiger game is in a bit of a delay. They got Blue Jays and Yankees later on tonight. The game I kind of want to focus on is that Blue Jay and Yankee game.
Right.
Do the Yankees have a chance? I mentioned to Christian Cadd, our producer, who I'm filling in for today. I mentioned to Christian, I've seen the Yankees do this, go down 0-2, and it's specifically where we are in the MLB playoffs right now in the ALDS. They came back against a Guardian team, one of our better teams that won 22 games in a row when they were down 0-2. I think the Yankees win tonight. I'm calling my shot.
I think they'll win tonight. The thing about the Blue Jays is they're playing a little bit like the Brewers. Timely hitting.
Brewers.
They run the base path. They get a lot of guys, 1 through 9, who could give you hits at any given time. They go on runs offensively. Every other team in this postseason, nobody goes on runs. The Brewers and the Blue Jays have went on offensive runs. Even the Dodgers a little bit have, but it just hasn't happened.
And the Blue Jay pitching has been great.
Great.
I know the bullpen kind of blew up in that second game, but Gausman gave you five.
Vesivage.
There you go. They gave you 5.2 innings of pretty good baseball, 2 runs or less. That's been the difference maker for me. Fried getting rocked for 7 earned. Wow, man. I mean, you just knew. You signed up for a lot of trouble if you're a Yankee
fan. Here's the question
right
now. Here's the thing about the Blue Jays. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, especially if the Yankees win tonight.
Right.
Yankees win tonight. The John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, can play Gausman on short rest so he can ensure that Yesavage, who tore apart the Yankees in Game 2, can pitch on Friday in Game 5. Do you do that? Do you pitch the guy short rest, Gausman in Yankee Stadium, up 2-1 with a chance to close him out? That's the real question. And they don't have the pitching depth. So that's a game where you could do it. And Gausman's experience. That's what I'm curious about.
Number four.
And then quickly, Colin, number four, 5-5, presented by Flagler Credit Union, is the Tiger and Mariner series. Is that one going to go to distance?
Yeah, that's probably going to go 5. Do you agree with that?
I agree. And I think, as a bitter Guardian fan, I'm actually happy that Detroit showed up for the series.
You just want the AL Central to get a little bit of reputation.
Not really, dude. Detroit's got our number, man, and a plethora of things, including Ohio State and Michigan. So I'm happy, though, that this is a series because I did think the Mariners were the better team.
Number five.
Now, Colin, we are home of the Panthers. We got Panther hockey coming up tonight. We're actually in about a minute here. We're going to go to a timeout and then go to Panther coverage. How excited are you for the Panther season this year?
25 minutes till puck drop between the Panthers and the Blackhawks. Stay tuned for that. You can have it right here. Quest for three-peat starts now. Hasn't happened since the 80s. Hasn't happened since that great Islander dynasty of the early 1980s. Can it be done again? 3 in a row. They're going to have their adversity with no Barkov and Tkachuk to start the year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm excited, too. I can't wait to go down to a couple of games, do some stuff for our YouTube. You can follow us on YouTube at ESPN West Palm. Our capitan and boss, Brian Rowitz, our content director here at ESPN 106.3, he will be on site tonight for your YouTube coverage. So make sure you go check it out. That's at ESPN West Palm, at ESPN West Palm for your Panther coverage tonight. The banner's dropping tonight. Going to be a lot of fun for Panther hockey coming up this year. Dude, you're on cloud 9 today with the Jags, by the way.
Huge win.
You got the jersey, and you told me you've worn that jersey about 3 times in your life, and today being one of them.
That's Russo and Rizzo. We'll take a timeout here, and we got another minute with you, actually. Never mind. Because Panther coverage starts in just about 5 minutes. Stay tuned for that. That should be a whole lot of fun. Listen to some Panther action all season long. You go download the ESPN South Florida app, and you can catch us there. You can catch the Panther games there. You can catch our high school coverage there. You can catch it all on the ESPN South Florida app. Big thanks to Mike Rizzo holding down the fort today. We'll see if the Yankees can scrap together a victory with their backs against the wall. Can they do it again? Did it against Boston? Can you do it against Toronto? We'll see what happens in the Detroit Mariners series, where Detroit was needed to steal one game on the road. They did that. They didn't win the Scoop Bowl game, but they're still able to steal a game nonetheless. We'll see what happens there. We got a whole lot of coverage coming to you tomorrow, a shorter program today, but we'll be back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 106.3. This has been Colin Russo and Mike Rizzo from the City Place saying so long. We'll see you next time. Enjoy that Panther game. Enjoy some Panthers Blackhawks coming right to you now on ESPN 106.3.